B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
All right, from the Town Fair Tire Studio for the first time in 2019, it is Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hello and Happy New Year, Chris, even though I saw you yesterday in Felger and Maz.
Yeah, good to be back. Happy New Year.
You as well. Do you do resolutions? More Gucci, more Louis Vuitton, better parking spaces in 2019? Is that all on the docket for you?
Better parking spaces. How about a little more reading this year? And, of course, the one I have every year, which is that I'm going to get in better physical condition, which I never really follow through on.
Yeah, so this is why I don't make them. You get what you get, and you're going to like it. I'm not changing. I don't make the resolutions. Yes, there's improvements I'd like to make. Yeah, I'd like to learn how to play the piano this year. But if it happens, cool. If it doesn't, whatever. I'm not really going to make any kind of drastic changes. You get what you get. I'm now 42 years old. I'm not changing. Still, that said, Happy New Year to you, my friend. And I do hope that you get more Louis Vuitton this year.
I don't have any Louis Vuitton.
Well, see, this is why you have to make those changes. I know you have champagne taste, and you want these things. So I hope that you have more Louis
Vuitton. Yeah, champagne taste, seltzer water budget. That's my issue.
One of my favorite weekends on the sports calendar is upon us, the NFL Wild Card Weekend. And this one, Chris, I don't know if I can remember a Wild Card Weekend like this one where you can look at all eight teams and legitimately say, you know what, I could see this team getting hot and actually making a run to the Super Bowl. Like last year, you know, the Titans get in, and even though they upset Kansas City, like, were the Titans really going to come to Foxborough and win that game?
No.
It played out exactly the way that you thought it could. But any of these teams in the AFC, because I think the AFC is the lesser conference, and even some of the teams that I thought were the power in the NFC, like the Saints and the Rams, even though they have the byes, like, they've come down a little bit. Like, the whole, as hot as the Eagles have been, and the run that they went on last year, and Nick Foles still apparently, you know, that deal is still being made with Satan.
So he re-upped with Satan.
He did, yeah. No, doubled down on that one. So I think you could make a case for them going into Chicago on Sunday and upsetting the Bears.
I feel like those old terrible, you know, when I say terrible, terrible as a Patriots fan, those old Giants teams that just get hot at the right time and just ride it all the way through and thumb their nose basically at the regular season.
Or even like Baltimore in 2012, that they get in as, I think they might have been the 5 or 6 seed. Either way, they ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. But all four games on the slate look on paper to be extremely competitive, and I think that they will be. I'll restate my picks for the weekend. I gave them yesterday on Felger and Maz. If I get them wrong, just do what you do on social media and chirp at me like a big dumb baby, like, you got it wrong, but whatever, I don't care. That's what it's for. I like the Colts over Houston today. I like Dallas over Seattle tonight, and I understand, look, it's under Pete Carroll. Seattle has never lost a first-round playoff game, and that team, I'm not hot on that roster at all. I think Pete Carroll, to me, is the NFL coach of the year.
He's done a great job.
What he got out of that team, I thought they would be 7-9 maybe at best. It just felt like that team was going in the wrong direction. It was a rebuild, but hey, kudos to him. They're in the playoffs, and I obviously you can make a case, as long as you have Russell Wilson, that they could go into Dallas and upset the Cowboys. I don't see that happening. Chicago's defense, legit. I know Mitch Trubisky kind of sucks, and I don't believe in him. And Philadelphia, the reigning Super Bowl champion, they could go in there. But I like Chicago, and I like the L.A. Chargers over the Baltimore Ravens, which means you'll get Phillip Rivers and the Chargers here a week from tomorrow. And I know Baltimore just beat the Rams a few weeks back, and it was a pretty dominant performance by that defense. But Phillip Rivers, this whole season, up until the last 2 or 3 weeks, legitimate MVP candidate. You get him in a rhythm, watch out. I think that team defensively has been underrated. It's as good of a roster you're going to find in the league.
I agree. I mean, in terms of balance, offense, defense, balance, totally agree.
About the one thing, well, two things you hold against them. Their kicker's still a stiff. He's like Nate Kading-esque. They had problems in special teams.
Nate Kading.
And there's still the Chargers thing.
Yeah.
And I think, at least in the regular season, they look to have kind of gotten that off their back because they go into Seattle and win there. They go into Pittsburgh and win there, and they were down big in that game. And then that game on Thursday night, they go into Kansas City, and they win that game too. So those were un-Charger-like things. But how they played these last 2 or 3 games down the stretch and how Phillip Rivers looked, I think he had 5 or 6 picks in his last 3 games, matching his first half total. It started to feel chargery again.
Well, the thing, too, is that they would have had the number one seed if they hadn't lost a game during the regular season in the most charger fashion possible. They're at home against Denver, and they mismanaged the clock, leaving just enough time for Denver to go down and score and win the game. You know what's interesting about them? So they finished 12-4 this year, obviously. All four of their losses were in Los Angeles. Three of them were at their stadium, and they lost to the Rams. So, you know, actually, for them, being on the road might be good.
I agree with you.
Because they haven't lost there.
Yeah, that soccer stadium.
Like, the real road, like, outside of Los Angeles.
That soccer stadium that they play in, like, I remember when Philly was there, right? Yeah, earlier this year. Like, it's like 90-10. Like, it's 90% filled with the opposing team's fans and 10% that are Chargers fans because they just don't give a rat's ass. Yeah. Like, they don't have a home field advantage.
They don't.
They've played better on the road. So, I don't know, though. Just in terms of the roster, I think they're the most talented team in the league.
I agree.
And
at least in the AFC.
Yeah. Well, okay, sure. In the AFC. And Phillip Rivers, like, as much as I believe in institutionalized failure, and we'll get to that with the Kansas City Chiefs coming up later, the whole world feels upside down in a lot of ways with sports. Look at how the Eagles ended up going on their run. You have the Cleveland Cavaliers finally winning the title a few years ago in the NBA. Like, things just are upside down in sports. For Phillip Rivers, it just feels like, to me, this could be his year.
Well, the other thing, too, and I know it was years ago, but remember, I mean, you know, Phillip Rivers is a quarterback who's gone into Indianapolis when Peyton Manning was there and pulled out a game, you know, a playoff
on one leg.
Yeah, so he you know, he does have a track record of being able to win some playoff games against teams that maybe are favored more than his team as a Super Bowl contender. So I think that matters for something. I think it's the right mix for the Chargers in terms of you have Rivers, who does have playoff experience and does have a few sort of playoff pelts on the wall in terms of at least victories. And then the rest of that team, I feel like, is young enough, Jim, where they're kind of like, well, they don't know that they're the Chargers and that they're supposed to screw it up. And I think that might be the right mix for them ultimately. But there still is that idea. It's like, oh, man, they're still the Chargers.
Yeah.
Like, they're just going to, like, you can take them, you know, you can take them out of San Diego, but you can't take the San Diego out of them. Like, it's the same. It's like, oh.
Yeah,
so Anthony Lynn, don't do it. Don't Schottenheimer this.
But you agree, though, it's going to be the Chargers here in the division.
I agree. That's my pick. Yeah, that it will be the Chargers because I think Indy will beat the Texans. The Texans are injury depleted on offense at this point. I think that Demaryius Thomas injury is huge. I think Indianapolis is a more balanced team top to bottom than Houston at this point in the year. And then I like the Chargers against the Ravens because they've already faced Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, that was just like 2 weeks ago that they faced him. So some of the gimmick factor, the novelty factor won't be there. And I like their overall talent level. So, and I also think Lamar Jackson, look, he's played really well, but I think that going into the playoffs, he might feel the pressure a little bit, particularly with some of the passes. Like, he's impressed me with the way he's throwing the ball. I know the completion percentage numbers aren't great, but he's made throws when he's had to make them. But this is going to be a different level, I think, of football, and I think that could have an effect on him. So I like Los Angeles in that game.
And I know the Colts have become, like, the sexy pick for a lot of people in the last week because I feel like a lot of people are taking them over Houston. And not to discredit what Houston's done this year, it's pretty impressive, especially the fact that they started 0-3, then had that 9-game winning streak. Deshaun Watson's back to being Deshaun Watson pre-injury.
Absolutely.
But, boy, he's been sacked 62 times this year. That offensive line's a sieve. Defensively, they're good up front. Secondary, I think, is overrated. I just don't, more than anything, what I hold against them is Bill O'Brien. I don't like him in big spots. He feels like a mistake waiting to happen. And that Colts team, you can maybe make a case that they're a year ahead of schedule.
Sure.
But they're 9-1 in their last 10. They beat Houston just recently. And Andrew Luck's back to being Andrew Luck. The thing that really ended up changing for them was the offensive line.
Yeah.
56 sacks last year they gave up. This year, 18. Lowest in the NFL.
I didn't know it was the lowest in the NFL. I mean, I knew that it was low. They've done a great job, and you see Quentin Nelson there. Obviously, you know, he's an all-pro as a rookie. They invested in that offensive line. I think Frank Reich has gotten Luck to get the ball out of his hands faster. I think that has helped. There's a little bit of self-preservation in a good way in his game. So he's not holding on to it as long and having got, you know, before I thought Luck was a guy, we always compared him to Brady and Manning. To me, he played more like Roethlisberger. He's like, I'm going to hold this forever. I'm going to run around. This like 260-pound guy is going to be draped all over me like a cape, and I'm still going to throw it. And I just don't think you can last that long in the NFL that way. I don't know how Roethlisberger has done it, but he's had a million injuries. So I think they've changed Luck's game, upgraded that offensive line. I like Marlon Mack as a running back, and they have some weapons. Eric Ebron's been reborn. I just think
Speaking of a guy that's made a deal with the devil, like, what the hell happened there?
Oh, he was always talented. I wanted him here. You know, I was like, just get this guy out of Detroit. Bring him to the Patriots. Like, you know, he'll be good.
But frying pan for hands when he was with Detroit, like, I can't. And he's had actually, there's a few of these games I've watched this year where he's had still some drops. Sure. What did he finish with? 13, 14 touchdowns, whatever it was? Yeah, like, he had a phenomenal year.
He did. I just think there's more balance. This will be really interesting because Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator for the Colts, is an NFL head coaching candidate. People like him. And I want to see what he does in this game against Houston, because the obvious thing to do, given the state of Houston's wide receiver core, is to double DeAndre Hopkins. Like, make somebody else beat you. That's what the Patriots would do. Anybody but DeAndre Hopkins is going to beat us. And I'm just curious if that's what they're going to do in this game. Are they going to put, you know, Malik Hooker sort of over the top, and you'll play a cornerback underneath and go from there? Or are they just going to try, you know, do what every other team does and just let DeAndre Hopkins sort of do his thing? Because Hopkins is good enough where he could change the whole game if you're not going to just take him out with coverage and force Watson to go out, throw to Vincent with a Y, Smith.
Well, we think that it's going to be the Chargers. Who should the Patriots want for the division?
Oh, Houston. Yeah, they should want Houston. Because of what I just said. You know, again, I think eventually O'Brien's due, but there's a reason they went out and traded for Demaryius Thomas. They knew they were short, and they knew they were what they've been in the past.
Well, and they lost Will Fuller earlier in the year.
They lost him to the torn ACL, but they needed like another receiver there, and they don't have it. We'll see if Kiki Cutie can come back. The rookie's had chronic hamstring issues for them. He's not bad in the slot. I mean, he could be a game changer for them if he's healthy, but I look at Belichick matching up against that team. I mean, J.J. Watt never does a thing when he plays the Patriots, and if it's just DeAndre Hopkins pretty much for the receivers, I think that team coming to Gillette, that's exactly what the doctor ordered for the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm with you on this, and I think this seems to be the universal answer. It's the Houston Texans, and it's because of just the history there. Like, and this is where Bill O'Brien, I just think, has been owned by Belichick time and time again. And again, Watson's not what he was in week one when they saw him.
No, he's way better.
And yeah, it might be a competitive game. And defensively, they've known how to obviously get at Tom Brady, even the divisional game where they had Brock Osweiler starting. Brady didn't have a good game. They were pressuring him right up the middle, but
But I also think the Patriots have kind of solved some of that stuff.
Yeah, that to me just feels like an almost easy W in the tomato can round. Trademark Dan Shaughnessy next week if it is the Houston Texans. The Chargers, though? Watch out.
The Chargers make me nervous.
That's a bad matchup, though.
They make me nervous because, again, they have a ton of... Now, they're a little banged up. I don't know how healthy Melvin Gordon is. Aaron Eckler's banged up, too.
Well, same with Keenan Allen, too.
Yeah, but the Chargers make me nervous in part because, you know, that game that they played here last year, they could have won that game.
Yep.
They definitely...
They charged it up, though.
They charged it up. The safety, guys stepping out of bounds on their routes, catching touchdowns and coming back in, which obviously means the touchdown was disallowed. They had a pass interference, offensive pass interference penalty that was real shaky. So they just made even the last play of the game. I mean, Rivers throws it, you know, short of the end zone for an interception on the last play of the game there. So they might come in here, look at that tape and say, well, we're better this year and we could have won that game against the Patriots last year, and we don't really think the Patriots are better than they are last year. I think the Chargers would come in with some confidence, especially having played a game and winning in a place like Baltimore.
Well, like I said, I think you can make a case for any of these eight teams playing this weekend to make a deep run. I think it might be the best wild card weekend ever. What say you? It's 617-779-0985. It's the first Gasper and Murray of 2019 here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Colts have had the ball 16 minutes. The Titans less than four. Luck fires into the end zone, and that will be hauled in for the touchdown. Eric Ebron, his 13th touchdown reception of the season.
Certainly had some dark moments in a sense, and I think coming out the other side of it has made me a better quarterback. It's made me a better person. I appreciate this game differently. I certainly have a better, I think, a different perspective on this game, and I'm very thankful. Thankful to be on the Colts. Thankful for a great locker room that we have, and it's fun to play football.
You know, if nothing else, I think the Andrew Luck story this year was good. I mean, it was good for the NFL. It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, a Sports Hub. First wild card game on tap today. It's the Indianapolis Colts at the Houston Texans. And credit to them and Frank Reich, starting 1-5. Can you even remember a team that started 1-5 and then ended up in the playoffs? Like, usually you have five losses like that to start the year. Like, that's it. You
know, Kansas City do it a couple years ago?
Yeah, maybe.
I bet they got off to like a really bad start and then turned it around.
But like I said earlier, 9-1 their last 10 games. They had a couple of real quality wins down the stretch. They beat Houston 24-21 on the road, and then Dallas, they shut them out 23-0 at home. And in those two games, they stopped Houston's 9-game winning streak, and I think it was 5 or 6 games for Dallas either way. So it was a good run for them. The lone loss that they had was an ugly game at Jacksonville. They ended up losing 6-0. But I like the Colts today. I do. And in fact, I'll even say this. I like the Colts next week at Kansas City, too. Now,
ooh,
I do. And now I know you can't. Chris, it comes back to my thing about institutionalized losers, you know, like in sports. And Kansas City is certainly one of those. They haven't won a home playoff game since 1993 when Joe Montana was the quarterback of that damn team. And the Colts have been one of these teams that have been a thorn in Kansas City's side during the playoffs. Like, I think
that's true.
It doesn't matter now for a player like Pat Mahomes, who was, what, born in like 1993 or whatever the hell it is. Kid's so young. He's ridiculous. He's the MVP of the league this year. But I do think that the ominous institutionalized loserdom of certain franchises just that loom, you know, that just hanging over them like a wet fart, that can come up and end up biting them in the ass. And that Colts team has been that team that's done it in the playoffs to this team more than a few times. You go back to 95, the Lynn Elliott game where he missed 3 field goals and they lose to Jim Harbaugh and that court, and when he was quarterback in that team, they had no business going in there winning that game.
You love that game.
Oh, I love it so much. It was one of the best. The game where they're up like 28-3. In Indy, I think that might have been Luck's first year, just a few years back. There was another one.
That was the game. That was like a great game. Who got knocked out of that game? Oh, I can't. It was Alex Smith and Luck went like back and forth. It was like a 45-44 game. It was a fantastic game. I'm trying to remember who was the running back for Kansas City. I should know this. Who got knocked out of that? Got knocked out of that game with a concussion. And it's
and that completely changed the
completely
the
changed
of the game.
Dynamic of the game. I was there. I should know this. I'll go back and look it up.
2003, you had Peyton Manning go in there. That was the famous no punt game where Kansas City, I think, was 14-2 that year, whatever it was. But they're back and forth. They end up losing 35-31. Like the Colts, if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, you don't want to see the Colts next week. Like with their offense, as long as T.Y. Hilton is healthy and the defense has been playing at the level that they played at the last couple of weeks, I could see the Colts going in there and upsetting them. And in the AFC Championship game, you'll have the Colts and the Chargers. 617-779-0985. I just think the Chargers are bad.
You just sneak that in there.
Yeah, I think the Chargers are a bad matchup for the Patriots. It's the Patriots overall this year. By the way, credit me. Apologize. I'll slam the table a little bit. I said 11-5 before the season started. I was right. Not right about a lot of things, but I was right about that one.
You got that one right, Jim.
And I still don't believe that they're a Super Bowl championship team this year, or even been there. Like,
I think there's a difference. You know, Super Bowl championship team. Do I see that at this? No, but do I think they can get there? Yeah, I do. Particularly if the dominoes fall the right way for them in the AFC playoffs. I mean, again, if they get Houston, then okay, that's great. And then if you're in a scenario where one of those other teams, Baltimore, which went into Kansas City and almost won, they lost in overtime, and Los Angeles, which won in Kansas City, so they go in there. If one of those teams beats the Chiefs, suddenly you're hosting the AFC Championship game at home. And again, I think the Chargers would be a difficult matchup for them. You know, Baltimore, I think, would present some problems too, but I would have more faith in the Patriots being able to figure out Baltimore and what Lamar Jackson does. And I know he's incredible running the football, and they're just very good running overall with Gus Edwards and that offensive line. But it would remind me a little bit of like when Tim Tebow came here to play that playoff game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's just sort of too one-dimensional at the end of the day to beat a Bill Belichick team. So if the chips fall your way, I mean, I think your chance, I said this yesterday, I mean, I think your chance is as good as anybody else's. You're not the most talented team, but you don't have to be.
Oh, but in terms of guile and the ability to outsmart opponents, like, yeah, no, you got to give them credit there. And you know,
all these teams are flawed.
Yeah, they all are, especially, yeah, the conference as a whole. So I can see it. Look, the last time I think we did this show, the Patriots were still the 3 seed and felt like they were going to be playing wild card weekend.
Yeah, that was a little different.
And it's, you know, of course, like, shame on me for doubting them again.
Well, your guy Nick Foles came through in a big, big way. And you know, and in typical Patriot fashion, they got a little luck with Demaryius Thomas tearing his Achilles during that game.
Yeah.
Which changed that one a little bit. So, yeah. You know, they got the bye. I think that was hugely important for them, obviously.
Pete in Plainville, your thoughts on Wild Card Weekend. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I think the running back you guys were talking about for KC was Jamal Charles. He was a beast.
It was
that
Jamal
year.
Charles. Yep. Thank you very much. Yes.
Yeah. Well, my call was I'm with you guys with the Colts. I think the only thing, like, if you look at the Colts roster, I mean, they have Malik Hooker, who's, I think he's going to be a great safety. And then the linebacker that they drafted this year, his name escapes me.
Jerry Slater.
And then you look at, yeah, exactly. And then, you know, one guy, you know, I don't want to see leave the Patriots, who would be a great fit for the Colts, would be Trey Flowers. You shore up that defense, give them, you know, another wide receiver opposite of T.Y. Hilton, and they're off, guys. I mean, they're the team, I think they're the team to beat next year, maybe. You know, they have a ton of cap space, and I'm with you, Jim. I think Kansas City does not want to see Indianapolis.
Thanks, Pete. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, that Darius Leonard, boy, they nailed that pick.
They did.
He was their first pick in the second round, and I mean, look, a lot of teams ended up skipping on him, but that was a guy, especially when I felt like the Patriots needed to address their linebacker core. Like, oh, how do you miss on a player like that? He's been an absolute stud for them. Frank the Tank in the truck, you're next here on Gasper Murray. Hello, Frank, and Happy New Year.
Hey, Lee, Rocco, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Frank?
Not too much. Look, I'll be as quick as I can here. The field this year, I mean, I think we all know there are some really great teams out there, but it really is a flip of a coin to me this year. You never know. It could end up being Baltimore and Indianapolis in the AFC Championship game with the way that this year is going to go. However, I want to disagree with you a little bit, Murray. I think if Indianapolis goes into Kansas City, I think they're going to get crushed. I think that's the one team that Kansas City wants to see versus Baltimore or San Diego. I think if San Diego goes into Kansas City, they're going to wipe the floor with them. I don't know. I mean, the game today, it's going to be an interesting one for sure with Indy and Houston. I still see Houston. I see them trying to keep the ball away from Luck and trying to grind it out. I like Houston today, even though I think Indy is going to give them a hell of a game. As far as our guys go, look, we all know that, you know, just the eye test. We're not looking at it with Patriots colored glasses here. The eye test shows us that they have not been what we've been accustomed to.
Sure.
However, because of the field, depending on who comes in here next week, I'm not putting it away from them that they could end up hosting the AFC Championship game, and then who knows, depending on who it is, with a little bit of luck, maybe they make it to the Super Bowl. But man, I am so excited for this year's NFL playoffs. It's unbelievable because it's going to be just such a flip of a coin.
Thanks, Frank. I agree with you 100% there. Like, if your plans are anything other than just, you know, sitting on your couch today, putting your hand down your pants, Al Bundy style, and crushing beers all day today and tomorrow, then I don't know what the hell's wrong with you. Like, this.
Well, then you're probably married, Jim.
You can DVR the games and watch it later. Oh, come on. No, I want to watch it in real time and yammer on about them on Twitter. No. We're going to look at beds. Oh.
It's time for a new mattress.
No, we can order it online. What about a Lisa mattress? No, we have to lay on them instead. Oh, you've ruined my weekend and my life. It's the wild card weekend, the one that's been more as exciting as I can remember in a long time. Because, again, I think you can make a case for any of these teams. So who do you want to see? Do you have any thoughts on the weekend? Let's hear from you at 617-779-0985. Frank was just mentioning Tom Brady and the Patriots, who you know, a few weeks back felt like we were going to be playing on this weekend, but nope, they have another bye. You didn't believe as much as I did in Brady's performance in the final game of the season against the New York Jets, Chris. I want you to explain that further when we come back right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Mike Sarge-Riley here on Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Jets with a four-man rush. Brady pressured. Rolls to his right. Searching. Fire into the end zone. Caught by Dorsett in the right corner. Brady fires a fastball, and Dorsett snags it for a touchdown. Patriots!
From studying this team over the years and studying Brady, this is not up to his normal level. This team needs a great quarterback. He has not been that this season, and they do need him to be that. I think now more than ever, they need a great Tom Brady if they want to go to a Super Bowl and win one.
That's Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Earlier this week on Felger and Maz, making his usual appearance, talking about Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, still not near his MVP level for the Patriots, and they'll need him to be if they're going to make a deep run and get to the Super Bowl. Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Now, I was impressed with Brady's performance in the final game of the season against the New York Jets. And Craig, earlier this week on Felger and Maz, said he had gone back, looked at the All-22 film, and that wasn't really the case. It was there was a lot of guys that were left wide open, as has been the case, unfortunately, throughout the season for Brady. And it was kind of a pumped-up performance that people like myself took a little too seriously because, well, I thought he looked a little bit more comfortable in the pocket. That touchdown he just played there from last week to Philip Dorsett.
Great throw.
Was a dart. I was like, okay, at least he looks more like Tom Brady. I was encouraged by that, Chris, because in the prior few weeks, really from the second half of the Miami game, the loss in Miami, up until the game against the Jets, I thought Brady really looked bad, and I've been convinced that he's hurt. And I still think that there is still something going on with that knee of his, but I was encouraged. But according to Bedard and you, we're making too much of that performance against the Jets.
Well, the key phrase there is against the Jets. I mean, that was like the last day of school for the Jets. Their coach is about to get fired. Their season's going nowhere. The only win they'd had in that entire stretch was against the Bills, who are not very good as well. And the way they sprinted off the sideline at halftime was the thing that stuck out to the most to me about their execution in that game.
You mentioned this yesterday. I guess I didn't notice
this. Well, I was at the stadium, so I saw it. I mean, I've never seen guys move that fast to get to the... I mean, that was the fastest they moved all game, any of their guys. But I want to ask you, what is a Rashard Robinson?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or a Derek Jones.
I don't know.
Because those were the cornerbacks out there attempting to defend Tom Brady. Obviously, no Morris Claiborne, no Tremaine, what's his last name? Johnson.
Johnson.
Johnson for the Jets.
Buster Screen was there.
Yeah, Buster Screen was there. He's a nice little nickel corner, but he's not going to really get it done. So I think you have to look at the level of execution from the opponent, the talent level of the opponent. And I haven't even mentioned my favorite guy, Neville Chamberlain, who was out there at linebacker. No. Actually, his name's really Neville Hewitt. But as I said to Jim during the break, doesn't that sound like someone you would want giving a speech fulminating against Prime Minister Theresa May in the House of Lords instead of trying to cover James White?
Yeah, just rolling
over. Yeah, Neville Hewitt.
Rolling over for the Germans.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, I mean, I don't even know who that guy is. And I talked to Manish Mehta during the game.
Who covers the Jets for the New York Daily News.
And he was like, oh, you know, Hewitt's out there. Like, literally, he was like, Hewitt's out there? He's a special teams guy. So I think they were just trying to get a look at him. I just think that this was not really an opponent that you can say, okay, the gains the Patriots made in this game were all the Patriots. I think a lot of it had to do with the level of competition and the lack of motivation for the competition.
Okay, but just eyeball test alone, what about how comfortable he looked in the pocket compared to the prior few weeks? You know, is that just because they're playing inferior competition?
Yes.
You think so, really?
Yes.
I mean, the Bills stink, and he didn't look...
No, the Bills have the number one... They do, but the Bills have the number one pass defense in the NFL. And I thought they had a, you know, pretty good game plan there. After that game, some of the Bills players were saying, credit to Brady, they didn't really have their passing attack today. Lorenzo Alexander said this, but he kept going to the run. And even Belichick said some of those runs against Buffalo, they weren't called runs. They were things Brady checked to, or he checked out a one run play into another one that would work. So that's sort of the beauty of Tom Brady, that even when he's not beating you with his arm, he can beat you with his brain. But that was a very good pass defense that Buffalo had. How many times in the past, Jim, have we seen some team come swaggering into Foxborough with a statistically highly rated pass defense and the Patriots shred it?
Yeah, I mean, it has happened.
That's normally what happens. Yeah. That's not what happened against Buffalo. And so that, to me, was a little bit of a red flag. And then you look at this Jets game. It's certainly better than the alternative. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie. If they had gone out against Rashard Robinson and Derek Jones, and I'm literally looking at the roster sheet they handed out to us for the game to remember those names, and played poorly, then yes, I would have been concerned. But at the same time, I can't say they fixed all their issues in the passing game in 1 week playing those guys and that caliber of competition and the lack of motivation or execution from the Jets, because that's not what you're going to face in the playoffs if Baltimore comes in here or the Chargers come in here. That's not the level of defense that you're going to have to execute against. And I think you'd be creating a false sense of security, lulling yourself into a false sense of security. If you look at that Jets game and you say, well, it's all fixed, the passing attack is back to what it should be for a Patriots passing attack, because I don't think it is.
Yeah, I don't think it's like it's fixed. I was more encouraged by his play in that game as compared, like I said, to the prior few weeks. Give me a grade for his season, Tom Brady, for 2018.
B+.
Well, okay, that's higher than I thought you would say. Because for me, it's like B-ish, B-minus-ish.
Okay.
And I'm going to hold, you know, unfortunately, I'm going to have to hold the injury against him because that he's bailing out of throws. Like that last throw against Pittsburgh on the road there, like
yeah.
where he has really nobody near him. And you saw that way too much towards the end of the year. Like, that is just so uncharacteristic. It really started popping up in the game against Tennessee back in early November. It was just like, what the hell am I watching here? He just looked like a complete shell of himself. But you think, and you said this now a few times, I think starting on the show a few weeks back, the last time we did it, you think he bounces back and is MVP of the league next year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that there's a little like...
At 42? Really?
I do. I know, look, I'm going out on a limb here, but I just think, look at the history of the guy's career. And at some point, Father Time will catch up to him like everybody else. I don't think he's had a great year, but I still think he's had a good year. I think there's a little bit of hyperbole involved in evaluating Tom Brady's play because of how well he played last year when he won the MVP and just what he's been. Like, I'm not sure that Brady's getting a necessarily fair evaluation here. I don't think he's been as bad as people are saying, especially when you consider what's around him, which hasn't been a heck of a lot this year.
So this is where you and I agree, because I know Felger thinks, like, no, he's had the same weapons. Like, no. Julian Edelman is not what Julian Edelman has been.
And he missed four games.
Yeah, Rob Gronkowski is Robert James Gronkowski. Gronk doesn't exist anymore. I'm not coming off that one. Yeah, they've been trying to hide him this whole season. No, please, stop it there. Philip Dorsett, eh. Chris Hogan, eh. Like, I've been with you on this. Like, I don't think the weapons for him this year have been all that great.
No, I don't either. I mean, Philip Dorsett, Sam Aiken, same guy to me. But, you know, it's like, when you look at it, I just don't think he's had, you know, I think I agree with everything Bedard said in terms of how he framed some things. This team needs a great quarterback, and Brady hasn't been great. Totally fair. I definitely agree with that. Brady said back in training camp, this team needs a great quarterback. But I think look at study the back half of that more than the first half, which is, you know, this team needs a great quarterback. Okay, the implication there is Brady hasn't been great. That's correct. This team needs, okay, well, why does this team need him to be great? Because the roster construction is not what it should have been. Because you were running in guys like Jordan Matthews and Kenny Britt and Corey Coleman and Eric Decker and those guys to catch passes from Tom Brady.
I completely forgot about Eric Decker.
You know, and the Josh Gordon thing was a desperation move, and you know what? It worked while he was here. But it basically came to its inevitable end, which was that, you know, for the most important games of the season, he's not going to be available to you. And they made the decision. I mean, Adrian Claiborne's been a healthy scratch for the last two games. He got a two-year deal that was $10
million. This year's Allen Branch.
For $2 million more total, you could have retained Danny Amendola over the same amount of time.
Coming up, an update on the drama in Pittsburgh as the Steelers reportedly open to trading Antonio Brown. Chris, I also want to get your thoughts on this mercurial wide receiver and everything that's gone down there with this team this week. We'll do that next on a long commercial-free segment that will also lead into the Sports Hub Celtics show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I don't recall anything like this with a player of his magnitude, Mike, and I think that it has to be dealt with severely. I'm not one of those who say categorically that the Steelers should trade Antonio Brown or cut Antonio Brown. Now, as far as his situation and what happened, I think it's absolutely outrageous. Outrageous to the point that when I submitted my AP All-Pro team on Monday, before any of this happened, Antonio Brown was one of the three receivers I listed on the team, along with Hopkins and Tyreek Hill. And when this happened, I sent an email to the AP, and I said I can't in good conscience put a guy who took the equivalent of 6% of the season and flushed it down the toilet. When the Steelers were in a playoff implication game. And so, Mike, I ended up voting for Michael Thomas, and I took Antonio Brown off my All-Pro ballot.
Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports. That, of course, is sanctimonious Nana Peter King embarrassing himself on Pro Football Talk Live with Mike Florio yesterday, saying he couldn't, I can't in good conscience keep Steelers wide out Antonio Brown on my ballot for the AP because of the reported incidents that led to his absence. And the Steelers, Week 17, lost to the Bengals. Just as an aside, real quick, I hate Peter King.
Oh, I love Peter. He's a super nice guy.
I'm sure. But hell would be being trapped in a room with that guy and listen to that drama queen whine about what's wrong with the league and humanity as a whole. I can't believe that the people swear in public. Oh, shut up. Anyway.
Peter's actually, I think you'd actually, you and Peter would actually get along. You guys would grab a beer. He's a good guy.
Ugh.
But I disagree with him on this, on you know, I like a lot of what he said about Antonio Brown, but one of the things I sort of pride myself on with the Pro Football Writers Association is that some of that stuff isn't done. It's, you know, that's more like a BBWAA type thing, like, you know, follow, hey, I can't in good conscience vote, you know, pull this guy off. Like, I don't agree with what Antonio Brown has done, but I think it's a little over the top, I think.
So there's an update to the story, and this is why I want to bring it up, because we've been, you know, league heavy today. It's wild card weekend in the NFL. It's one of the most glorious times in the sports calendar. Patriots got the week off, of course. But this Steelers story just continues to devolve as the week has gone on. And according to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport today, the Steelers are expected to consider trade offers for him. So this whole thing that happened, I mean, you'd heard that they weren't actively looking to trade him. Now that they are, he essentially quits the last week of the season. It blows up between him and Roethlisberger and him and Mike Tomlin. I hate the Steelers more than any other team in all of sports, so ha-ha to them. I'm glad they're not in, even though, you know, I'll gladly eat a bunch of big pile of crap when it comes to my prediction saying it would be the Steelers in the Super Bowl. I can't believe it has come to this. Like, I know that there's usually something going on with that team, and I don't know how much Mike Tomlin's message is getting through to that team and guys like Brown anymore. It feels like he's lost his way.
He's the ultimate diva wide receiver.
I'm surprised he actually didn't end up getting fired this year, but Steelers usually aren't that drastic. Either way, Antonio Brown, would you take him here? Is he worth it? You wouldn't.
No, I mean, immensely talented player.
The trouble trumps the talent in that
case? Yeah, I think it does. Plus, he's starting to get up there a little bit in age. I mean, it didn't show this year. Obviously, he led the league in touchdown receptions. But I think there are certain guys who can acclimate to the Patriots' way of doing things in their culture. I don't think Antonio Brown is one of those guys. I just don't. You look at the way that he's behaved there. It seems like he's always in some sort of conflict with the coach or with the media or the quarterback. He always has all these ancillary things going on, which, again, you know, I'm not against that. Like, hey, man, take advantage of your position and your platform and make that money. But just like stupid stuff, like the Facebook Live thing, you know, a couple years ago in the locker room when the Patriots were going to face the Steelers in the AFC Championship game, like that whole thing. I mean, you have your coach giving a speech. You're trying to tell you, like, this is what we need to get ready for. This is what we need to do to get ready for our biggest game of the year. And whether you're recording it, breaking the sanctity of the locker room, whatever, the bottom line is you're not paying attention and you're not invested in that moment. That's not the type of player that I think would do well in this environment. You know, he needs to go, I think, somewhere else where they'll give him the freedom to be him and where, at least in his own mind, he'll feel like he's appreciated. And maybe he won't act out as much. Because I think that's the root of this whole thing. I think that he is resentful of the way Roethlisberger is sort of canonized in Pittsburgh. And he's resentful, I think, of the way that Tomlin treats Roethlisberger. And I think that's the root of this whole thing. And he's like a child acting out.
But what about in cases where guys have quit because they've been on a team?
Yeah.
So Corey Dillon with the Bengals back in the day.
But that was a losing team.
Randy Moss on Oakland.
This is like a super losing team. This guy's on a team that I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. Just like, I mean, they have as much talent as anybody in the AFC. And they were playing a game that they needed to win to have any shot to get into the playoffs. And during that week, he's mad. He's too mad that he can't show up to practices. He can't show up to the walkthrough the day before when your season's on the line. No, I mean, I just look at that and I think that situation is soured. And I think he's a player who's too far into his career to really change his stripes to the degree he would have to fit in a place like Foxborough. I just think it would be a bad fit, match.
So on the cases I just gave you, okay, you're right, losing teams. But what about different sport, obviously, but Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs, to me, I feel like he quit on them. Do you think the Raptors regret, you know, making that?
No, but right? I don't think Kawhi quit on the Spurs. I think Kawhi was, I'm in the minority here, but I think he was legitimately hurt, and then he was alienated by the Spurs because they were sort of insinuating publicly that he had quit. Like, I don't think he actually quit. I think that what happened was he got annoyed with them because they're saying, well, you're not really that hurt. You're not tough. You should be back. And he was like, well, how could you question me after everything I've done for this organization? I think, you know, he got his feelings hurt. He could have handled it better and more professionally. But I don't put that in the same category as Antonio Brown, you know, quitting on his team, because I don't think Kawhi Leonard had a legitimate injury. And now that he's healthy, doesn't he look like Kawhi Leonard?
Oh, yeah. No, he does. He does. I just, for me, I still, outside of anything horrible, you know, doing anything to women, children, animals, anything like that, like, talent trumps trouble, especially in that league. And I know he's been a giant pain in the ass. And it was a terrible look last week where he's on the sideline wearing a fur coat that's probably worth, you know, $500,000 or whatever it was, and he leaves at halftime. But I still think he's, you know, maybe the 1A or 1B best wide receiver in the NFL, and I still think you do what you do to try to fix that situation. I'm surprised ownership, for as proud as the Steelers franchise is, that ownership hasn't stepped in and tried to do something here, and it's just, it feels like they're ready to wash their hands of this whole thing. Where should he go? If not here, where's a good fit for him? Because I think it's the Niners or the Jets would be the most ideal situation for Antonio Brown, especially with Sam Darnold there. You want to get him a good weapon. It's a big market. I think he'd be a perfect fit on the Jets.
I mean, off the top of my head, obviously the 49ers, you know, sort of that Twitter courting that's going on there with George Kittle, that would make some sense. Jimmy Garoppolo will be back from that ACL, big-time weapon. Kyle Shanahan knows how to use a premier wide receiver. When he was the offensive coordinator in Atlanta, he had Julio Jones. There's obviously a need there with the 49ers. It would make a lot of sense, I think. The Jets, that would be interesting. Man, who would be the bigger, like, sideshow circus wide receiver in New York, Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham Jr.?
Oh yeah. See, yeah, they'd be fighting for the back page of the Daily News, the New York Post.
That would be kind of interesting.
Yeah. No, so that one would be good. And I try to get Le'Veon Bell there, too, and all of a sudden you have, you know, real weapons for Sam Darnold. Were they the biggest? Because you had them slated in the Super Bowl, like I did. Steelers, Saints. Were they the biggest disappointment in the NFL this year?
I mean, off the top of my head, I'd have to say yes. It's either Pittsburgh or the Vikings.
I mean, it's the Minnesota Vikings.
You think it's the Vikings?
Yeah, I mean, for
Pittsburgh
them,
has so much talent, though.
So does Minnesota. If the Steelers don't have the best wide receiver duo in the NFL, then it's Minnesota with Thielen and Diggs.
Yeah,
and that they got worse with a guy who, at least on paper, has more talent at quarterback that they gave a mountain of money to, and Kirk Cousins. Like, that is embarrassing. And that defense should have been better too.
That's fair.
That Minnesota ended up crapping the bed the way that they did and not make.
But
the
they're playoffs. They're also in a tougher conference.
Yeah, but that division was down too this year. I mean, I know Chicago was up, but Green Bay didn't play all that well. Detroit was a disaster. They go from 9-7 to whatever the hell they were, 5-11 under, you know, Fatso there, who also should have been fired, by the way, as an aside, and Matt Patricia. But I thought the Vikings were an absolute embarrassment this year.
No, it's close. It's the Vikings or the Steelers. I just feel like the Steelers were a team that you could say that they could win the Super Bowl. I know people felt that way about the Vikings, but when you looked at the Vikings, I thought there was maybe a little more competition there in the NFC. And I guess, you know what it comes down to, ultimately, I'm not as high on Kirk Cousins as other people. So I'm not going to say that I, you know, knew the Vikings weren't going to make the playoffs, but I didn't think they were going to have like a 13-3 type of season, whereas I thought Pittsburgh could have had a 13-3 type of season.
All right, it's Celtics time, everybody. The noon hour is upon us on a Saturday. It's the first Sports Hub Celtics show of 2019. We'll get into that as the Celtics win again at home last night over the Dallas Mavericks. Touch on that and get Chris's thoughts on this team since the last time that we did this show. No commercials here. Sean Silver now in to do the Sports Hub headlines to get you caught up. And then we'll start off the Sports Hub Celtics show here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.